guess we know the class Wednesday and Thursday, so Tuesday. I'm not sure. It's hard for me to hear. Okay, so at this point, this part's pretty sure. My thing would be the first 4 to 6 sessions, hold on, hold on. Yeah, we'll be doing logic. I don't want to back up first, so that'll be done first, and then I want to bring them. What he said, 1 to 2 hours, knowing I'm your pastor, I could stretch a little longer. inspiration of scripture, somewhat what he's been doing in ministry orientation in the and after that, depending, Mike could go 4 hours and could go 8 hours. And then I don't think Harry's going to be able to get off work. He'll probably, incorporate some of his material, incorporate into the recommendation. But if he can't get off work, he'll probably incorporate whatever else he needs to bring in. Great deal of power for him now. Including the section of this, which is really, when you divide it up into separate settings, it's basically just correlation to it. So I'm not sure if you'd have first to do the topic and take topic and study first. And what's left, which should be probably maybe as many as 8 meetings. If you take a topic anyway, it's going to be done at this point. We'll see what in class study for that. Good to hear the discussion on the table. How you're retaking, they take those talks and they get back to the
Yeah, I used it. You've been taking it, so. Yeah, for my.
Well, if nothing else, we can do something like that. I have a little bit of recorder, set recorder. That's even like that. There might be a discussion both in Don and Mike's part about Don is going to let it open to Mike and he doesn't have any stuff like that. Okay, next section is historical analysis. Textual, lexical, grammatical songs have been focusing mainly on the internal context. And here, the historical section is focusing on the external context. And roughly, it's divided into three areas of research, three areas of study consideration: geography, customs, and history. History would include political, religious, and economic factors. Under geography, I have 1, 2, 3, 4 headings here for consideration. Topography, which I'm not just talking about mountains, but also the human geography, cities, roads, and that type of thing. Galilee, for example, would be more civilized than Judea in the sense of culture. As an example, Tiberias would be more cosmopolitan than Jerusalem. Human topographical features. So these areas would lend themselves to conservative or liberal elements more so in one direction or the other. Next heading would be climatology, the seasons of the year, their differences between the mountains and the Jordan Valley, Sirocco winds, etc. The flora and the fauna are the plants. Territorial boundaries. Now, this whole section now should say what we're talking about is just factors that would bear in the historical analysis we're trying to look at the setting, the background, how it would be a factor in divided into these sections, and just as there is a consideration that, you know, may affect the interpretation of the field study we get into, I'm just going to make a few, you know, try and pull in different tools as they go through here. Just not exhaustive, but ones that I'm familiar with and use, and you can add whatever ones that you your favorite or whatever. I'm happy to go back here. Macmillan Bible Atlas. all these have that have used cameras and phones. With the flora and fauna, there's two that I recommend over all the others. I had to start with the bear. Right. The number of
Thank you.
Roman Empire. Thank you. Gone through customs, or through geography, customs, and history, and some archaeological supplements. The next category here would be contextual information. And all the above is applied to the text in question. It can be useful to establish the following information. I have a couple categories here. The first would be historical references. If you were studying the context, you first want to get all of the biblical and non-biblical references, parallel historical references, and so forth, to the passage in question. Biblically, you can just cross-reference or concordance and whatnot, but if you're not extra-biblical work, then the historical, next category, the historical perspective. Now, under historical perspective, using the overview analysis that we first started with, we're looking now at who, what, where, how, so on and so forth, this type had this information. You know, the author, who he wrote to, the occasion for writing, and so forth. And which is really critical, the fact that it's very over and over in selected areas. Well, it's almost like there's two ditches. There's like the liberals that spend all their time on grammatical exegesis, and they completely ignore the historical. And then you've got a group of like evangelical scholars that are so hung up on the historical that they ignore the grammatical. They both ignore the Holy Spirit. You really need all three. We need the grammatical considerations, we need the historical context, and we need God to enlighten the whole thing. But this is the word, this is even among Pentecostal circles, which is most often neglected. There's almost a tendency to jump into the application of how it applies to us, not everything, but how God's word originally to the people that are Christians, which is really important stuff. The first consideration is the character and circumstances of the author. Under this category would be his social circumstances, his profession, his lifestyle. Paul versus Peter, you know, canvas maker versus worker versus a fisherman. I don't know, does that have any bearing on what the analogy is he's using, his language, it undoubtedly does. Maybe the speech is using so forth. Amos in the Old Testament versus Isaiah, you know, speaking to the Lord. Echelon in society, economically, then his cultural milieu, customs, geography, history of his time, his background. Paul gives you a lot of his background, tells you that the Pharisees and all of that. And that tells you certain things about him that you wouldn't know. So there's information given right in the Bible itself about his immediate environment. Paul, whether it's an example of whether he's writing in prison or not, there's a big to-do in some circles about his prison symbols versus some of his others. That people that deny that in the water baptism, for example, that prison symbols are on a higher level, can't because they talk about baptism in that time. But it's good, you know, the context of where he's at, where he's at or where anybody's at with regards to the writing, that most helps you to reconstruct and make the environment alive, see the historical picture of the Holy Spirit and prayer. The second category would be the character and circumstances of his readers. Their social circumstances. For example, there's a big difference between the culture, the environment of the Corinthians versus the Colossians. Israel before the exile and after the exile. There's got a whole different cultural scene. The cultural milieu of the local situation. Differing, here's an example of the Galilean versus the Judean. Not just the difference all the way down the line, the customs, the history, the geography. Okay, in certain, third category under historical perspective would be the circumstances peculiar to the writing itself. Place of its origin, the time of its writing, and the occasion of its writing, especially the occasion of its writing. You just can't understand a lot of Scripture if you don't know why Paul addressed certain things. unless you understand, for example, the problem that Paul's addressing in 1 Corinthians, that you can go around in circles and just make it easier. There's one good word for background information that I'm neglecting. Is neglect, but it falls in here better. And that's Nahum, Z-A-H-M, Introduction to the New Testament. Any of your introductory work would be good in this section. Check out the local background information. See someone dating. Especially to read them. The interpreters, particularly, is real good. In fact, I should have mentioned the interpreters in several of the other categories, too, because they're so reasonable. You know, different archaeology and areas. I usually always, any time I use the Bible dictionary, check in there, and it's so reasonable. It's just a great way to deliver it. Sometimes we have really detailed comments on the real thing. Okay, then using all this information as it bears on a particular text, the more you can develop a historical picture and setting of what's being said, I mean, the people it's being said to, what's being said, the less likely it is to affect exegesis, reading into the text instead of exegesis. Because it's bringing it alive. The more you can bring it alive, it's just like, you know, you can relate to somebody if you understand their background. If you can't understand it, you can go round and round in circles of theological discussions when, in some cases, the problem is being addressed. Then, you write out a summary, identify if there's any problems that need to be solved with regard to historical background. Does it need further research? Is it bearing on exegesis? Well, it's solved in this sense. You can go round and round in circles in Daniel, and that's what it is, you know, 70 weeks in parts of the classes. But in other areas, like, you know, where Paul, the doctrinal areas that Paul's addressing, it's well worth it. And the same way in the Old Testament, so in other cases, they're saying Israel and the conditions of Israel at that particular time, the problems would be addressed. Okay. I was just trying to hit highlights of references. I didn't emphasize any of the works, individual commentaries, too much, because there's some really good works coming out that carry archaeological and historical information. A lot of times they tend to be weighted too much in that direction, but it's a balance to a lot of the other things. So I'll pick up with theological analysis next time. I'm going to use some of the theological terms here again. I'll go through the terminology, some of the terminology briefly.
In the years you've been studying the Middle East,
I tend to get the more I'm able to do research, you know, where I'm independent of the commentator, the better I like it. I tend to try and get away from them all as much as possible. I use that as a last resort, although they're absolutely necessary in some areas. But for principles and for a heart for God and for His people and a conservative view of Scripture, your old commentaries, for the most part, are by far the best. But the only thing they're lacking is that they didn't have the background material in a lot of cases that they do now. But like Gill wrote in 1700s, but he's got a wealth of information that he never had any commentary today.
I tried to pick one that was common enough to do it, but it's so rare. I thought, oh no, this is the problem here.
No, this is the same problem. The one in the Old Testament, the one I mentioned there, that should be a serving thou shalt serve, or a servant thou shalt be, you know, talking about the king. It's just the view now that prevails that it's not referring to being slaves, but it is being a tradesman, craftsman, or workers, rather than the thinkers and intellectuals.
Except ones that just have a single injury. Like you can verse 12, the next one if you want.
Okay.
Here you're cut off. Yeah. Unless you did the other sheet that I gave Genesis 5:32.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that was a real lengthy one. I just gave it.
Probably have to do more than one word today there, because that'd be a big jump.
Yeah. All right. Okay.